All right, so SIM cards. We usually think of them as, simple little keys that unlock our phones.
Right, yeah.
But get this, they're actually like mini computers, packed with a surprising amount of power. And that's where things get a little unsettling.
What's fascinating is how much we trust these tiny devices
Well,
without really understanding what they're capable of. I
yeah.
mean, most people wouldn't hesitate to pop a SIM card into their phone, but they're essentially giving this little chip deep access to their entire digital life.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And today we're going to deep dive into some cutting-edge research that's going to blow your mind about just how vulnerable these SIM cards can be.
Okay.
We're looking at a paper from the 33rd Eucinic Security Symposium called SIMRI, Slicing Through the Complexity of SIM Card Security Research.
Right.
This paper is a real eye-opener. The researchers uncovered some seriously wild stuff about SIM card spyware software vulnerabilities and how shockingly easy it is for someone to manipulate SIMs for malicious purposes.
This paper really highlights a critical shift in how we need to think about SIM card security. It's not just about protecting the data stored on the SIM itself anymore.
Right.
It's about understanding how a compromised SIM can be used to attack your entire phone.
Okay, so before we dive into the scary stuff,
Yeah.
let's break down the basics of how SIM cards actually work.
Okay.
The paper throws around a lot of technical terms like ICC, UICC, and eSIM. Can you help us unpack all of that?
Sure. So think of it like layers of an onion. At the core, you have the integrated circuit card, or ICC.
Okay.
This is the fundamental hardware. It has a tiny CPU, some memory, a file system, and even its own little operating system.
Wow.
Then, built on top of that, you have the UICC, which is a telecom-specific standard. That's what most people think of when they hear SIM card.
Gotcha.
And finally, there's the eSIM, or embedded UICC.
Okay.
It's essentially a UICC that's built directly into your device.
Okay, so different levels of functionality, but they're all basically tiny computers.
Got it. Exactly.
But how do they actually talk to our phones?
They use something called Application Protocol Data Units, or APDUs. It's a way for the SIM and the phone to exchange commands and responses.
Okay.
Now, here's where it gets interesting. Some of these APDUs include something called proactive commands.
Yeah.
This means the SIM can actually initiate actions on the phone, not just passively respond to them.
Wait, hold on. So the SIM can actually tell my phone to do things.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of things are we talking about here?
Oh, a lot of things.
Okay.
It can make your phone display menus, open your web browser, even send text messages. Think of it like the SIM card has a tiny set of remote control buttons for your phone.
A little creepy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is definitely not what I was expecting. It's
Yeah.
way more power than I ever imagined that little SIM card having.
Right.
So this paper also dives into a new software platform called SIMRI that researchers are using to really explore SIM card security. Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. So what SIMRI does is it basically emulates a SIM card in software.
This gives researchers an incredible amount of flexibility to play around with different attack scenarios and test the security of real-world phone software.
And I remember reading that SIMRI has two main parts, right? Can you break those down for us?
Right. You've got SES-ICC,
Okay.
which emulates that base ICC functionality we talked about earlier, and then SES-WSIM layered on top, which adds the SIM-specific features.
Okay.
But here's the really cool part.
Yeah.
SIMRI can be programmed to intentionally break the rules, to violate the normal SIM card standards.
Interesting.
And that's absolutely essential for researchers who are trying to poke holes in the system and find those hidden security flaws.
Okay, now we're getting to the part that I was a little nervous about. The paper goes into a bunch of ways attackers can actually gain control of SIM cards. And it really plays on some of our deepest anxieties. Like, what if someone swaps out your SIM card or a rogue carrier pushes out a malicious update?
Those are very real threats. And the
Yeah.
paper talks about these things called SIM interposers.
Yeah.
They're wafer-thin devices that can sit between your SIM card and your phone,
Okay.
basically intercepting and manipulating communications.
Wow.
And there's evidence that these are already being used to bypass carrier locks on iPhones, for example.
So someone could potentially steal data or even take control of my phone just by slipping one of these things in there.
Potentially, yes.
Oh, wow.
And then you've got those remote administration attacks we were talking about.
Right.
What if a carrier is compromised or someone gains access to their systems?
Yeah.
They could push out malicious updates to your SIM card without you ever knowing.
And that's not just theoretical,
Right.
right? I remember reading that there have been actual cases of network operators being compromised.
Exactly. Think about the potential damage if someone were to gain control of a carrier's SIM update infrastructure.
Yeah.
They could target millions of users at once.
All right, well, now I'm officially freaked out.
Yeah.
And on top of all of that, the paper also mentions supply chain attacks.
Mm.
Like someone could tamper with a SIM card before it even gets to you.
Yeah.
At the factory or during shipping.
It's a scary thought, but it's a possibility we have to consider.
Yeah.
And then you have the issue of software flaws in the SIM cards themselves.
Yeah.
For example, do you remember the SimJacker malware?
Yeah, that was a big deal. Didn't that exploit vulnerabilities in SIM card software to spy on people?
That's exactly right. It was able to steal information and track people's locations.
Wow.
It just goes to show that SIM cards are a prime target for attackers because they have such deep access to our phones.
So we've established that there are a lot of ways for SIM cards to be compromised.
Yeah.
But the paper goes a step further and actually explains how these researchers use SIMRI to test some of these attacks in the real world.
That's right. They created a bunch of different test setups.
Okay.
They used real phones on 2G, 4G, and even 5G networks.
Uh-huh.
They built an entire 4G network in software using a suite called SirsRAN.
Wow.
And they even went so far as to emulate baseband firmware using a platform called FirmWire.
Wow, that's some serious dedication to research. And what did they find out from all of that testing? Was it good news or bad news?
Well, it's a bit of a mixed bag.
Okay.
On the one hand, they found that different phone models and generations of phones behave differently when it comes to SIM card security, which means there's no one-size-fits-all solution. Each phone model needs to be tested individually.
So there's a lot of potential attack surface out there.
There is. And it gets even more interesting when you look at how they actually used SIMRI to uncover vulnerabilities.
Okay.
They had two main approaches.
Okay. I'm all ears. Tell me more.
The first approach was to recreate SimJacker-like spyware to see just how easy it would be to implement.
Right. How easy was it?
Brace yourself. They were able to do it in less than 90 lines of code.
Less than 90 lines of code to build spyware. That is absolutely terrifying.
It really highlights just how powerful SimRI is as a research tool, but the researchers didn't stop there.
Oh, no.
They also used SimRI for something called fuzz testing.
Fuzz testing. That sounds kind of intense. What is that?
It's basically where you bombard the phone software with a bunch of malformed data to see if you can trigger any crashes or unexpected behavior, you know, trying to break it.
I can see why they called it fuzz testing.
Yes.
And it sounds like using emulated software like SimRI would be much easier for that kind of testing than using actual phones.
You're absolutely right. With physical phones, you run into all sorts of limitations.
Yeah.
If the phone detects too many errors, it might start throttling the connection to the SIM card. And then you have slow reset times.
Yeah.
Which makes it hard to test a lot of different inputs quickly.
And you don't get a lot of feedback from the phone about what's actually happening in the software.
Exactly. But with emulation, you have so much more control and visibility.
Okay.
You can run tests faster, reset the system instantly, and get detailed logs about everything that's going on under the hood.
So emulation is kind of like having X-ray vision into the phone's software.
That's a great way to put it. And in this case, all of those advantages led to some pretty significant discoveries. They actually found two high-severity vulnerabilities when they fuzzed the firmware for a Motorola One Vision phone using the FirmWire platform.
Two high-severity vulnerabilities. That sounds bad. What were they?
One was a null pointer dereference,
okay.
And the other was a heap buffer overflow.
Okay, I'm not a software engineer, but those sound like pretty serious problems.
They are. And unfortunately, those same vulnerabilities were later confirmed to exist on Google Pixel devices as well.
Oh, wow. So that's a lot of people who could be potentially affected.
Exactly. And it just goes to show that vulnerabilities discovered in one phone model often exist in others as well. So the impact of this kind of research can be really widespread.
Okay, so now we're all sufficiently terrified. But let's get even more specific. How could someone actually exploit these vulnerabilities in the real world? Give me the nightmare scenario.
Right. Well, the researchers focused on two main attack scenarios.
Okay.
The first one involves an attacker who has physical access to your phone.
Oh, right.
Which isn't as hard to imagine as you might think.
Like if someone steals your phone or manages to grab it for a few minutes when you're not looking?
Exactly. And what the researchers did was they actually modified a commercially available SIM interposer.
Right.
One of those wafer-thin things we talked about earlier to trigger the vulnerabilities when it was plugged into the phone.
So if someone could get their hands on your phone for even a short amount of time, they could potentially use an interposer to take advantage of these vulnerabilities.
It's a very real possibility. And the second scenario involves a rogue carrier using binary SMS messages to remotely install a malicious applet on your SIM card.
Oh, gosh.
This applet could then trigger those same vulnerabilities from within.
So basically, even if you haven't physically tampered with your phone, you could still be vulnerable to these types of attacks.
That's the scary part. And what's particularly concerning is that this attack vector takes advantage of a feature that's generally considered to be secure.
Oh.
Over-the-air SIM updates.
Right, those updates that get pushed out to our SIM cards using encrypted binary SMS messages.
Exactly. And while the encryption is designed to prevent unauthorized access,
yeah.
It doesn't protect against a rogue carrier who already has the keys to the kingdom.
Okay, this is a lot to process. We've talked about how SIM cards work.
Mm-hmm.
All the different ways they can be compromised.
Right.
And how researchers are using tools like Samurai to uncover vulnerabilities.
Yeah. It's pretty unsettling, isn't it?
It is. But what I really want to know is what can be done about it. It feels like we're putting a lot of trust in these tiny SIM cards without having any real control over their security.
You've hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're going to talk about in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay.
We'll explore some practical steps you can take to protect yourself and what needs to change in the mobile ecosystem to make these kinds of attacks much harder to pull off. Stay with us.
All right. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Before we took a moment to catch our breath, we were talking about all the ways SIM cards can be attacked and the vulnerabilities that researchers have been uncovering using that incredible Samurai platform. It's pretty clear that these tiny chips are way more powerful and potentially dangerous than most of us realize.
Mm.
But now I want to talk about solutions. What can we actually do to protect ourselves?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Knowing about the risks is important.
Right.
But it's even more important to understand how we can mitigate those risks.
Yeah.
The good news is there are steps we can take to make ourselves less vulnerable to these kinds of attacks.
All right, so let's get practical. What advice do you have for the average person who might be listening right now?
Sure.
And feeling a little paranoid about their SIM card? Where do we even begin?
Well, one of the simplest yet most important things you can do is be really careful about where you get your SIM cards.
Okay.
Avoid buying them from places you don't know or trust, especially when you're traveling.
That makes a lot of sense. And you just never know who might have had access to that SIM card before you.
Right.
Or what they might have done to it.
Exactly. Opting for SIM cards from well-known carriers or authorized retailers is a much safer bet.
Okay.
It significantly reduces the risk of ending up with a tampered card.
Okay, that's a good starting point.
Huh.
But what about those eSIMs we talked about before?
Mm.
The ones that are embedded in the phone?
Mm-hmm.
Do those offer any more protection?
Well, eSIMs do eliminate the risk of someone physically swapping out your SIM card.
Right.
Which is definitely a plus.
Yeah.
But they don't completely solve the problem.
Right, because those rogue carriers or hackers who gain access to a carrier's system could still push malicious updates to an eSIM, right?
Unfortunately, yes. So even with an eSIM, you're still placing a significant amount of trust in your carrier.
So choosing the right carrier is a big deal then?
It is. And it's not just about coverage and cost anymore.
Uh-huh.
You need to pay attention to their security practices as well.
Okay.
Do your homework.
Yeah.
Look for carriers that have a strong track record when it comes to security.
Okay.
Do they publish transparency reports? Do they offer things like two-factor authentication for account access?
Hmm.
Do they have clear policies about SIM card updates?
Okay.
Those are all good signs.
It sounds like we need to be a lot more discerning when it comes to choosing our mobile carriers.
Yeah.
It's not just about finding the cheapest plan anymore.
You're absolutely right. It's time to start thinking about security as a major factor in our decision-making process. Now, on a more technical level, there are also some things you can do to protect yourself.
Like what?
Remember those proactive commands we talked about?
Right.
The ones that give the SIM card the ability to initiate actions on your phone?
Right.
Well, one recommendation from the researchers is to disable those commands whenever possible.
That sounds like a good idea in theory, but how do you actually do that?
Unfortunately, there's no simple universal way to disable those commands.
Okay.
It's not a setting you'll typically find in your phone's menus.
So it sounds like we need phone manufacturers to step up and give users more control over their SIM cards.
I completely agree. Imagine if we had the ability to selectively disable those proactive commands.
Right.
It would be a huge step forward for SIM card security.
Yeah.
It's all about empowering users to take control of their own devices.
But until that happens, is there anything else we can do?
Absolutely. This is something we should all be doing anyway, but it's especially important in this context.
Yeah.
Keep your phone software up to date.
I know. We hear this all the time. But it's particularly relevant to this discussion, right?
It is. Phone manufacturers are constantly patching vulnerabilities.
Right.
And that includes vulnerabilities that could be exploited by malicious SIM cards.
So those updates are not just about getting new features. They're actually about closing security holes and making our phones less vulnerable.
Exactly. Regularly updating your phone's operating system and any other software that's connected to your SIM card is one of the best things you can do to protect yourself. It's like locking your doors and windows. It makes it that much harder for someone to break in.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. What about those antivirus apps or security apps? Mm-hmm. Can those help protect against SIM card attacks?
Unfortunately, most of the antivirus and security apps that people use aren't really designed to detect or prevent SIM card attacks.
Okay.
They typically focus on threats that come from apps or files that are already stored on your phone.
So it sounds like we need a whole new breed of security tools that are specifically designed to deal with the unique threats posed by SIM cards.
You're absolutely right. The research we've been talking about is really sounding the alarm.
Uh-huh.
We need much more robust security measures at every level of the mobile ecosystem.
We need phone manufacturers to build more secure baseband firmware,
right.
Carriers to implement stronger security practices, mm-hmm. and security researchers to keep developing awesome tools like Simurai to find and fix those vulnerabilities.
It's going to take a village, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But most importantly, we need users to be more aware of the potential risks.
Right.
And to start demanding better security from the industry.
Yeah.
We can't just passively accept these vulnerabilities as if there's nothing we can do about it.
This whole conversation is making me think about the balance between convenience and security.
Mm-hmm.
We all love how easy and connected our mobile devices are.
Yeah.
But we often overlook the potential security implications.
That's such an important point. It's easy to get caught up in the excitement of new features and new technologies
right.
without stopping to think about the risks.
Yeah.
But as our phones become even more central to our lives,
mm-hmm.
we have to start prioritizing security.
Our phones are basically extensions of ourselves at this point.
Yeah.
They contain our personal information, our financial data, our social connections. They're a window into our entire digital identity.
Exactly. And that's why securing the mobile ecosystem,
right.
including those often overlooked SIM cards, is absolutely paramount. We can't afford to be complacent any longer.
All right. So we've talked about practical steps we can take as individuals.
Right.
And some of the broader changes that need to happen within the industry. But I'm curious, what about the future of SIM card security? Where do we go from here? What are the researchers working on now?
That's a great question. And you know what's really exciting is that research, like the work with Simurai, is paving the way for some really innovative solutions.
Okay.
One area that's getting a lot of attention right now is something called remote SIM provisioning.
Remote SIM provisioning. That sounds intriguing. What is that?
It's a technology that would allow us to download and activate SIM profiles over the air.
Wow.
Without ever having to physically handle a SIM card.
Wow. That sounds amazing. Would that make us less vulnerable to those physical attacks where someone swaps out your SIM card or installs a malicious interposer?
It would absolutely eliminate those risks.
Oh, wow.
And it would make it much harder for attackers to tamper with SIM cards in the supply chain as well.
Okay, so remote SIM provisioning sounds like it has a lot of potential.
Yeah.
But are there any security concerns with that technology?
Well, like with any new technology, security needs to be baked in from the start. Researchers are working on developing robust cryptographic protocols and secure update mechanisms
mm-hmm.
to ensure that remote SIM provisioning is as secure as possible.
So it's all about anticipating the potential attack vectors and building in those safeguards from the ground up.
Exactly. Another really interesting area of research is focused on developing tamper-proof SIM cards.
Tamper-proof SIM cards. Tell me more about that. I'm picturing something out of a spy movie.
Think of it this way. These SIM cards would be designed with special hardware and software features that would make it incredibly difficult for attackers to physically or remotely modify them.
So even if someone managed to get their hands on your SIM card, they wouldn't be able to extract data or install malware because it would essentially self-destruct.
That's the idea. Of course, no security technology is ever truly foolproof, but tamper-proof SIM cards would represent a significant step forward in making SIM card attacks much more difficult to pull off.
It sounds like there are a lot of promising developments on the horizon.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we still need to be vigilant and take those practical steps we talked about earlier to protect ourselves.
Absolutely. Awareness and education are our best weapons in this fight. The more people understand about the risks, the more likely they are to demand better security from the companies that provide our mobile devices and services.
It's funny, as we wrap up this deep dive into SIM card security, keep thinking back to that analogy of the SIM card as a tiny computer tucked away inside our phones.
Yeah, it's like a whole secret world operating right under our noses, you know, with its own operating system, its own file system. And most of us have no idea it's even there.
And what's even wilder is that this hidden world is both incredibly powerful and surprisingly vulnerable. It has the potential to revolutionize our mobile experience.
Right.
But it also poses a whole new set of security challenges that we're only just beginning to grapple with.
It's almost like we've been so focused on the big picture of mobile security, you know, that we've overlooked this tiny but critical component. This research using Symrai is really forcing us to zoom in and rethink our entire approach to SIM card security. It's not just about protecting the data on the SIM itself anymore. It's about recognizing that a compromised SIM can be a gateway to the entire phone.
It's like realizing that the key to your house isn't just a key.
Right.
It's also a tiny listening device that can tell someone everything that's going on inside.
Exactly. Yeah. It completely changes the way you think about security. We need a more holistic approach that takes into account all the different layers of the mobile ecosystem.
Yeah.
The SIM card, the phone's baseband firmware, the carrier's network, even the user's own behavior.
It's like those layers of an onion we talked about before.
Uh-huh.
We need to make sure each layer is secure on its own.
Right.
But we also need to understand how they all interact and how a weakness in one layer can compromise the whole system.
This research with Symrai is really laying the groundwork for a new era of SIM card security. It's giving us the tools and the knowledge to start identifying and fixing vulnerabilities.
Right.
To develop more robust security measures and ultimately to build a much more resilient mobile ecosystem.
But it's going to take a village to get there.
It is.
We need security researchers to keep pushing the boundaries, like the team behind Symrai.
Absolutely.
We need phone manufacturers to make security a top priority when they're designing and building new devices. And we need carriers to adopt stronger security practices and to give users more control over their SIM cards.
And we need users to be informed and empowered to protect themselves. Even simple things like choosing a reputable carrier, keeping your software up to date, being careful about where you get your SIM card.
Yeah.
Those small steps can make a big difference.
It's all about shifting our mindset and recognizing that security is not a one-time fix. It's an ongoing process of awareness, education, and vigilance.
It's about taking responsibility for our own digital security and demanding better from the companies that provide our mobile devices and services.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just blindly trust that everything is secure.
Right.
We need to ask questions, do our research, and make informed choices.
This whole conversation has really been a wake-up call for me. I think we all take our mobile devices for granted sometimes, and we forget just how much personal information we're carrying around in our pockets.
It's easy to get swept up in the convenience and the cool new features.
Right.
But we can't afford to ignore the security implications. Our phones have become such an integral part of our lives that we need to start treating them with the same level of care and attention that we give to our physical security.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, we want to leave you with this thought. The next time you pick up your phone, take a moment to think about that tiny SIM card inside. It's more than just a key to unlock your phone. It's a powerful little computer that can shape your mobile experience in ways you might never have imagined.
The choices we make today about SIM card security will have a ripple effect throughout the entire mobile ecosystem. It's up to all of us users, manufacturers, carriers, and researchers to work together to create a more secure and trustworthy mobile future.
Thanks for joining us on this journey into the hidden world of SIM card security. We'll see you next time for another deep dive into the fascinating world of technology.
Until then, stay curious, stay informed, and stay secure.